Well, without any further ado, it's my great pleasure and honor to welcome to the pulpit for the second time today my twin brother over there, Emilio Gasavy. Come on, would you guys just extend your hands? You can clap if you want to, but just extend your hands towards this man of God. Heavenly Father, we speak your anointing out over Emilio right now. We ask that you'd give him clarity of speech, help him to say just the right words, but help our ears, O Lord, to be wide open to receive from you what you have destined for us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing this fellow all the way around the world to be standing in front of us. It's, again, evidence of your going ahead of us. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you, and we bless Emilio and the whole Gasavy family. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Will you pray?
Thank you, Pastor Eric. Yeah. Can I say? I'm going to call you Bishop.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah. I think we must call Pastor Eric Bishop. Okay. So. Just a thought. Yeah. Anyways, good morning, everyone. It's good to see y'all again. So you can hear my, y'all, I'm picking up on things. And Carla Ann saying, no, Dada, not restroom anymore, it's bathroom. And Caleb is saying, not tomato, it's tomato. So we're picking up on that a little bit, yeah. So we've been, I'm going to talk a little slower this time. I think the first service I was a bit, you know, just stop me if you don't understand anything. I want to make sure you hear what I'm saying. We're in the U.S. now for just over a month. It's 5 weeks, and a lot has happened. I mean, we met some interesting people. At the Faith Assembly the other night, I met a guy. You know, quite a lot of the community guys come there. And, we spoke a little bit, and I said to him, you must join the army of the Lord. And he says to me, well, I am in the army of the Lord. I said, well, then you must come to church. He says, well, I'm in the secret service. So, yeah. Well, he didn't really say that. I just had to put that in. But, so we had our first Super Bowl year, and the Patriots won. So I'm a Patriots fan, obviously, now. Yeah, we went to watch our first hockey game the other day. Bailey, one of the youth guys, he plays for the Crusaders, and they won 7-1, and he scored. So I'm a Crusaders fan, getting there. Yeah, I got pulled over by the cops as well. Yeah, driving on the left side of the road, a little too slow. So I'm getting in there. Those are all the good things. I experienced a blizzard, which was awesome. We made a snowman. While everyone else was closing up, we went outside thinking that's what you do. And so we made a snowman, posted it on Facebook, and people asking us, why is the wind blowing? We said, but that's what you do. You make a snowman when it's set, not when it's in a blizzard. But we had that. It was just an awesome time so far for us. And, you know, the church family is just amazing, inviting us over for meals and just being there, you know, really blessing us. We really feel blessed and very welcomed by all of that. Now, the only thing I wasn't supposed to do was to, Pastor Eric asked me to share devotion in the staff meeting one morning, and that caused me to stand here this morning. So yeah, be careful what you say yes to. So now I have to just basically share what was shared that morning. Well, to start, I want to talk on the scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's the scripture. Now, I just want to move back a little bit to 2002. Now, I said in the other service earlier that when I started dating Claudine, her dad was in his late 70s. So anytime I needed to go get some brownie points and go say hi to him, and we chatted, but he's a really nice guy. It was really good to talk to him. But when he started sharing stories, he always goes back. In 1934, was it 36 or whatever, and then he starts, you know, that going back. I don't want to sound like that. I'm just saying in 2002, I'm saying it. I was a Christian for about just over five years then, you know. And those of you who heard my testimony last time, about a year ago when we came here, I got saved, and I think it was the best decision I ever made in my life. But in 2002, I found myself in a place where it was good. I eventually got a very good job. I was happy. I worked for, you know, the company that makes the Lay's chips here in the U.S.? I think it's Walkers. It's Simba back home. Frito-Lay owned them. I worked for them in the engineering department. It was a really good job, paid well for my age. I had a car, an amazing girlfriend. I was going to propose to her then. You know, and everything was going fairly good for us. I was in the church for about 5 years. I joined a good church and did everything in the church, was in church 5 times a week, and I loved it. I mean, with youth group, we were in the worship team, in the choir, and we had a great group of friends. And I felt, Lord, that 1996, when I decided to follow you, was the best decision ever. Because today, look at me, I'm happy. You know, this is life for me and whatever, you know. But that's 96. In 2002, it's just like something inside of me, I started saying to the Lord, is this really all I'm going to do for you? And don't ask me where that feeling came from, okay? But that's just what I felt. And I started doing some introspection. I prayed. I fasted. Yes, I fasted. I read more scripture on this. You know, how does the Lord speak to you sometimes? Because I must admit, sometimes you don't always know if it's the Lord speaking or whatever. And one Friday, during that time, this is all 2002, in October, I proposed to Claudine. The Friday in that month, I just got something dropped in my spirit. I have to take her for lunch. So I phoned her and I said to her, listen, I'm coming. I'm going to take you for lunch. I need to talk to you. I have this thing that I can't get out of my head. And at lunch, I told her we need to go into full-time ministry, you know. And that came out of just sudden feeling. And I remember we had this perfectly sort of beautiful, she was going to get married the next year, and we're going to just have a nice house in the picket fence, a couple of dogs and cats. Maybe we in South Africa was probably going to be some lions or I don't know. But that's the idea. You get the idea. So that's kind of like we were heading in that way, you know. But now suddenly this change is coming simply because I started feeling the certain thing and I spent some time trying to understand where this is coming from. And we know the organization we were interested in was Youth for Christ. And I thought that's why how we would probably do our full-time ministry for a season. And we knew the director very well. Not that well, but we knew who he was. And we ended up in his house the following week. We went to him, we shared with him, and we said, listen, we know you don't accept couples, and that's just a policy, but we are here to tell you that we really want to join this organization as a couple because we feel that is what God is saying. So we didn't want to tell him, God said this. It sounds a little, you know, but we shared with him what we felt. Either way, we left the house that night on the team. They accepted us, which was an amazing miracle for us. And 12 years later, up until December 2013, we were with that organization. And in that 12 years, we did, say again? 2014, sure, sorry. Yeah, 2013, we knew we were moving out of it. So we were preparing our hearts for the next season. But we left that night not knowing where we were going. In January 2003, we were on training, and the rest is history. God gave us opportunities to minister in so many different places all over the world, and we did different things. We also ended up becoming the directors of that same organization for the Cape Town leg. We never thought that was going to happen. This all started from a point where we just felt God is saying something, and you just follow through. I didn't know what that meant. Now, this scripture, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In 2013, or 14, sorry, I'm mixing the years up. Last year, it's a big scripture for me, because when you remember, we came here in 2013 in October, really to come and see what this is about, because in 2013, we got that same feeling we got in 2002. God was doing something, but we didn't know what, and so I couldn't articulate it to my wife or what it was. We just knew something's happening. And we ended up making contact with Pastor Eric. There's a lot of detail to it, but I'm going to save you the detail. If you want to hear more, I'll share it with you on another time. But we made contact with Pastor Eric, and it just happened that we ended up here in October 2013 with that idea to come see what this is about and what's God saying. And in the 2 weeks that we came, we went up to Nyack to Chuck and Kristen, very good friends. I mean, I know you know them. And Kristen made a very good supper that night for us. She made us nice pork cranberry business with veggies. It was so beautiful. Yeah, just, yeah, I'm getting hungry now. So, but just as I was eating, I was going to take this big bite. Chuck just asked me the question. This nice social talk, you know. He asked me this question. So, Milo, why do you want to come to America? Now, I'm just thinking, I don't want to go into interview mode now. We're having fun. We're eating nice food. And, you know, I don't really, you know, that feeling. But then I remembered before we left in that month to come here, Claudine said something interesting to me. She just felt the Lord saying, we're not going anywhere to enter for a corporate job somewhere or whatever. And all we know anyway was ministry for 12 years, nothing else as a couple. That's all we knew. So we're not going for an interview where you have to say all the right things and you know, just speak heart. Say what God is and what you're feeling, and that's what we agreed on. So at the table, I got reminded that, you know, that's the best way. That's what we felt. And I shared this with him, and I said, yeah, we just thought we wanted to go volunteer a year or two somewhere after our season in Youth for Christ, but we don't know what's going to happen after that. And maybe during that year or two, God's going to show us our next season, you know? And we just started getting this idea of going abroad for a year or two because we had quite a bit of contacts in Europe and in Canada. And so because of the work we did in Youth for Christ in Cape Town, so maybe we're going to do work in another center somewhere. So now I'm sharing that with him. But America was never an option, only because it's such a mission to get in and just the way it is. If you want to come volunteer, it's not easy. Paperwork is crazy difficult to get. So that wasn't an option at all. But it ended up that that was the only place we came to. So so I shared this with him. And he looked at me, he said something about the scripture to me that night. He said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And he interpreted slightly, but I didn't understand it entirely. But he mentioned something like, if you delight yourself in the Lord will place those desires there, you know, and you'll suddenly start feeling something. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And we spoke about it and we prayed about it. But for the entire time back home, for that time when you guys were praying for us to get here and we were praying that side to get to you guys and this whole thing going on, that was something that was really key in my life, in our lives. Kept talking about it and trying to get understanding around it. And based on that is where I want to push out some of those experiences to now. And my understanding of that whole thing of delighting myself or we delight ourselves in the Lord was always that thing of doing the right thing like I did way back. You know, there's nothing wrong with being in church and doing your part and playing the guitar and volunteering. It's much needed because the church needs that. But my understanding was you do all the right things, you speak Christianese, you do all the good things, you're just there. God is so happy with you, you know. You do all beautiful things. And now you have the right to go to God and say, well, I need a new guitar. I need a new MacBook Pro. you start, you know. You fall. And after all, there's a new program that, you know, is very important for sermon workouts, Lord, and all these things. You think now you're entitled to it. That's just the way I think, you know. Well, didn't ask all those things to the Lord. But your understanding is you do the right things, delighting myself is doing the right things, and then the Lord will give me my desires, meaning the things I want, these MacBooks and all these things. I have a MacBook, so I'm not talking against it. Just saying, hashtag. That was my understanding. It's almost like it's this fast food process that you go through, you know, by getting what you want. So do what God wants, then you get what you want, that type of thing. But in this phase, I've discovered that it's not that. It's really getting quiet before the Lord and then denying yourself all those things that you want or your plans or your visions or your dreams. Denying those things is delighting yourself in the Lord. So that you empty yourself up and then God will suddenly place all these things in your heart that you never thought of before. The result of that, when it suddenly become you start talking about going abroad for a year or two and volunteering, and that's crazy. We didn't talk about that 2 years ago. Where's this coming from? Well, we prayed for God to answer something or show us something, and now suddenly deposited things and you start talking about these things and you're like, oh, we're going to go to India for 6 months, eh, Amy? And you're suddenly going to start going to this and you're going to do this. And it's things that you never thought of before because God's now suddenly orchestrating something here, and that's what we picked up. And then it's his purpose mainly, things he cares about, in the sense the deeper things of God, other things that's way better than a guitar and a MacBook Pro. You know, it's other things. And people around you are starting to think, you guys talk crazy. What are you talking about? You said, yeah, I'd love to go to India. Sounds like a cool idea. I said, well, good for you. But it's things that you started feeling inside. And that's how we felt in 2002, which pushed us into a season with YFC for 12 years. And that same thing came in 2013. And you start saying things, and I mentioned this morning, Luke 6:45 talks about what's in the heart will come out of the mouth, you know? It will overflow in abundance. So you keep talking about this because it's placed there. It's sort of solid, you know? But this was the tough thing. Now, we have to admit, very few of us like change, right? I saw this cartoon the other day where this guy stands in front. They said, who wants change? And everyone raises their hand up. And it's like, ah. And he says, who wants to change? No one. Please dance. So we don't want to change, eh? But we want the change. So we have to admit that's a difficult thing. So if you have to move into a season of change and sacrifice, and I made this illustration in the meeting the other day that Pastor Eric, I know, had to remove his appendix a while ago. So it wasn't a... Is that... That's public knowledge? That's right. Can I tell them? Can I... sorry. Forget that. But either way, he didn't. I don't think he was excited about the idea, but it was needed in order for him to get better. And it's tax season here now. Tax season. It's a very painful process of filling out things, but we have to do it. Because it's going to help us. It keeps us accountable with our finances and out of trouble with the IRS or SARS back in South Africa. So it's much needed, you know. But that's unfortunately changed. So I am one of those people that I don't necessarily like change, especially if you mess with my comfort or things that I like. It just feels a bit, you know, icky. But it's needed, you know, especially in this context. So... there are times in life when the plans, desires, hopes, and dreams of our hearts begin to run counter to the plans and desires that God has for us, right? And it's not necessarily that we are rebellious or ill-willed. It's just counter to God's plans. Now, this is where I just want to share a short story with you about not sticking to the plan that God has for you. I worked at this company. And I worked in the engineering department, and our job was preventative maintenance, okay? So we made sure things don't break or whatever. Lots of artisans and engineers and technicians. I was just the guy who did all the procurement and made sure the stuff is ready for the projects when they needed it. Anyways, the engineering department just had this reputation. If anything goes wrong inside the production area, everyone thinks they have to go to the engineering department to come help. We cut the finger, somebody, a box fell on their head, or somebody's leg feels weird. Engineering, help. That was the way they treated the engineering department. So unfortunately for me, this one morning before lunch, most of the guys were on site, busy with something in the plant. Now, I had to be in the storeroom all the time. They came in and said, there's a fire at the back. Now, I'm not a safety rep for the company or anything like that. However, I felt the need to go and help because that's what engineering always does. So, but first thing, I phoned the fire department. I said, fire! And they, where? I said, Simba. And then everyone said, okay, great, that's done. Took the fire extinguisher. Now, as you know, fire extinguishers needs to, something works for oil, something works for water. You can't just put anything on. Anyways, I just took one. Off I go. So, they call this section the wet end. It's where they wash all the potatoes and so it's separate to the dry area of the production field. So I come inside and I open these two big doors and I just saw dark black smoke. So I walk in and I inhaled it. I had no protection, just this little tiny fire extinguisher. And on my right, this massive fire. It's an oven. It's a massive oven full of oil. It took fire. And this thing, and people are running out, and I'm just walking into this disaster. And I couldn't turn back because it's so dark, and instantly I'd started suffocating. And this is split second stuff. It wasn't 2 hours, other with me dead. But so now I'm on the floor trying to find the exit because I need to get out. And I'm turning, thinking I'm turning around, but I can't see the door behind me. Right in front of me, I saw the light, the end of the tunnel. Somebody opened the conveyor door at the back. So I'm moving towards the light now, Navy SEAL style, on the floor, you know. I'm getting outside, and somebody opened one of the drains, trying to open a tap to fit one of those emergency pipes in, and I fell in that on top of it, wet till here. So it was a crazy day trying to save Simba money. But at the end of the day, we all went to hospital. It was a big joke. It was fun. And I got a big certificate, massive one, for bravery in a nice frame, mahogany, and written in silver. The gold one you get if you probably, I don't know, kill the fire. But like that one. And a 500 Rand check. It's like $40. Like, thank you. I was like, yeah, with a photo. Either way, it ended up that some people got into big trouble for that oven, of course, because the preventative maintenance didn't happen in time. I was okay. I got a day or two sick leave as well, so that's nice. So the story is, much like that oven, life is a way of letting us know that it's impossible to proceed peacefully and successfully without the necessary and the prescribed upgrade version of that piece of equipment. And they had to go back to the manufacturer and get lots of money. I don't know if the insurance paid, but cost a lot of work to get that fixed. Now, like I said earlier, if we think that we don't want to accept these things that God places in our hearts, we get to that place where we're going to have to, at some stage, get in contact with our Creator. Like the manufacturer of that oven, going to have to come in contact with our Creator so that we can function at an optimal level, or in our calling, or in our destiny, or what we were designed to make. But we're going to have to get to a place where we get that upgrade or that service, or you call it a service here? Shit. Yeah. So I think in closing, in a sense, I want to say delighting yourself in the Lord then requires, it's not doing what God, all the right things that the Bible requires of us. And I'm not going to go into a deep theological debate. I'm just putting my experience here. It's not about doing the things you think you should do to keep God happy so that you can get something from Him. But it's about getting still long enough before the Lord so that He can remove the unnecessary parts of your vision or your visions or your dreams or your plans, your desires, and allow Him to replace them with an upgrade model of who you can be living in His will. So unfortunately, we often exhaust most of our energy, our resources, and our time avoiding the process of elimination and upgrade installation. Then we wonder why we burn out like that oven, right? So I think since I found this new meaning for the scripture, I started appreciating it when God calls me aside. Gets my attention a bit and implant the desires of His heart into my life. And He removes that old model of, I don't think our experience in the last 10, 12 years was an old model, but it was a season. And now it's a new season, what God wants to do. But we need to be at that place where He can do that. And we might believe that what we have now, and it might be the case for some of us, maybe not for some of us, you know. We believe this is it, but God has always a better plan for us. I have a song that I want to play. It's a song by Jeremy Camp, nice artist. I mean, he went through a very difficult time a while ago. He lost his wife, young wife, and he wrote this entire album out of that place of seeking God and wanting to fully allow God to place His desires in His heart. And this song's actually called My Desire. Yeah, I just want to play it for you and listen to it. And if it means anything and you want prayer, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Eric, because this is my devotion. I'm done. So enjoy the song. Thank you.
it inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose and sight. You wanna have virtue. Then purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To be used by you. Inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to